Hello, Royals fans. Welcome once again to another podcast, Inside Athletics, your opportunity to hear and see a little bit of behind the scenes that goes on here at Eastern Mennonite University. Welcome to this week's broadcast. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics. And after almost what feels like a full summer hiatus, I'm joined again by our Sports Information Director, James DeBoer. And I've tried to keep you folks apprised of what his life has been consisting of recently. So I guess, James, welcome back. And the first thing we'll ask is, are you getting any sleep these days with twins
in the
house?
Well, yeah, I'm getting a little sleep. I was going to say, if you're keeping people comprised of my life, it's not that hard. There's feeding, there's burping, there's diaper changing, and hoping that they don't wake up. That pretty much caps the whole thing. But now they're closing in on 3 months, our twins, and finally getting to those stages where you're seeing schedules develop and they start sleeping a little longer. And pretty excited about that sleeping a little longer. That's a pretty nice deal. So.
Well, one thing that is nice is that you and I appreciate the fact that you've been working from home a lot.
Well, I appreciate that I can.
your job allows you to do that. Yep. So maybe at the 2:30 feeding or something, and you can't go back to sleep, maybe you can write another article or get something done.
It's been done that time of night, yes.
Good. Well, this is an extremely, extremely busy week here at EMU. As I informed you last week, the fall teams, the athletes came in on Sunday. We had a good registration. It was a little bit crowded as there was another large concert on campus, a concert sponsored by one of the local Mennonite churches. And there were about 2,000 people on the front lawn getting refreshments and bands playing, and then they all came in here to the Commons. So we had to move our registration somewhere else. But it was a good time for them to come in. The weather has been extremely good down here. No major 95-degree days. The humidity has been up a little bit. No thunder showers that have interrupted anything. The athletes are gimping around campus with stiff muscles and sore muscles. I think the injury rate isn't too high yet. We've been feeding them four times a day, and they seem to have enjoyed that. I'm not sure that they enjoy three practices a day, but we have had a chance to get them all in and work with them for a week. And there's a couple of things we want to do in today's broadcast. One is we can't really give the full preview of each team, but James is prepared to make a few comments about the fall teams just in terms of what the numbers look like and returners and a few things like that, maybe a word or two about the schedule. And then there's a couple of odds and ends that we'll do. So registration for all freshmen is on Saturday, big move-in day. Of course, it pales nothing to the last two move-in days for JMU across town, which they've moved in 4,600 freshmen, I think, and we're going to move in maybe 200. So,
a little different.
It also means that those of us on the west side of town stay on the west side of town from now until May.
Pretty much.
and you don't go to the other side. But it will be an exciting time. Returning students will come in on Sunday. Most of the large registration will happen on Monday. Class starts on Tuesday, Wednesday, convocation, and before you know it, we'll have our first contest. So clearly, if we're not ready, it's too late because they're here and we're ready to go. So, James, why don't you just give us a quick rundown of what you can say about the teams as you – I'm sure you haven't had a chance to watch them, and you wouldn't see much with practice anyway as you're doing a lot of specific skill training and things like that. But just give us a little recap of what you see coming up in each of the fall teams.
Well, sure. Super exciting to see this year coming. I mean, it's always it's just fun to watch the teams develop and figure out how they're going to fill holes that they left from last year, et cetera, et cetera. But the men's soccer team, they lose 9 of their 11 starters from last year. 7 were seniors, and two of the guys did not return for different reasons. And so that is an awful lot to replace on the team. But it was nice. We saw some talented kids coming off the bench last year. I know Roger brought in some good freshmen, got a good transfer or two. So I think with the men's soccer team, we'll see the first couple of weeks, I think they're going to be figuring each other out. You know, a lot of kids, at least they know the coach, a couple other players, but haven't spent that much time on the field together for most of these kids. So I think they're going to be spending a lot of time figuring each other out. They'll start the season on the road at a little classic, but they'll have 3 home games starting on Wednesday the 5th, all that weekend, Saturday and Sunday. So there'll be some big chunks of home games to watch the men's.
He also is spending a lot of time this week sorting things out. He's got 38 guys out there, and I don't think he's going to keep that size roster. So He's sort of sorting things out. A few guys coming in between sort of at the end of the week here with other summer commitments. So that's going to possibly slow the chemistry process down too,
right?
Because they really may not be able to start forging their units till the end of this week, beginning of next.
Well, the women's soccer team, kind of a similar boat, but maybe on a little more of a grand scale. They returned two players from last year, not just two starters, just two players. And so that's going to be interesting for them as Coach Sue Kolb gets in and gets a chance to – I kind of feel like this is her second year, but the first year she didn't get to do as much recruiting just based on when she got hired. So I feel like she's really getting a chance now to put her stamp on the program. It should be fun to watch some of these new girls come in, and she's got a pretty – decent-sized roster, considering two returners.
Yeah.
And so that should be fun for them, and we'll all get a bunch of chances right away. They start out with three home games, and they're one of the first ones on campus next Friday, playing a home game already. So it should be interesting with them as well. A lot of new people out on the field, and that'll be interesting from that extra standpoint that these kids, at least for the men's soccer, some of them were subs last year, bench players. Well, the women's soccer team, these kids are playing different high schools last year, different states. So there's a lot of adjustment to go on.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. The one advantage, as you say, is there really isn't anybody coming back except for two. So there won't be a chemistry issue. They're all sort of thrown in the same boat.
So there you go.
I think it should be. I think you're right. It is her ability to put the stamp on the program. And some people would look at the number of girls who didn't return, some of them are playing a different sport, et cetera, and some people might look at that as a sort of a black eye on the women's soccer program. I think it's just a shift in emphasis and where we're going, and it is her first opportunity to really show her recruiting class maybe more quickly than other sports would have. So it could be a long season in terms of the win-loss, but what she said so far is the chemistry is really good, good spirit, good attitude.
That's great. Women's volleyball team, they're getting a bit of a mix on that, and they do return a handful of players but also lose a few key players. They lost two of their top three hitters from the team, so they've got spots to replace. And then Jeff Tyson, our new coach, comes in, and it's kind of funny. He didn't know much of anything about him, which you kind of expect, but we even struggled to find any game tape from last year. So I think even leading up until this week's practices, he really hadn't seen any of his players play because we just couldn't find much from last year either. So there's a lot of adjustment for him trying to figure out who his players are, and some of them are familiar with each other and spots on the floor. But the roster size for women's volleyball is up a bit. That should be a lot of fun. And I think the trick for Jeff will be, for one, establishing his feel to the team, but also probably just putting players in place. It seems like we have a bunch of really good defensive players. Yeah. We got to figure out who's going to hit the ball this year.
Well, the one advantage is with an interim coach last year, there won't, and now Jeff coming in with his particular system, there won't necessarily be a problem with people getting to know a system because they kind of just whatever they did last year. He does have large numbers also, 22, 23 out there. He's probably not going to carry that many. Mm-hmm. So again, he's sorting that process out. But you're right, he had no idea how they could play until Monday morning when they started. And so he's excited about it. And certainly in terms of the conference play, the only way to go is up. And I think he's looking forward to that.
Yeah, and the fun part, I guess everyone is probably used to seeing a women's volleyball invitational to start the year. Right. That's different this year. We're not hosting an invitational to start things out. They'll actually start out at one at St. Francis, I believe, that opening weekend. But we'll have another big stretch for them from the 11th to the 18th. They will be playing five home matches over that stretch. Mm-hmm. So a lot of good chances to see them early on, even though we don't have an invitational. The field hockey team this year actually returned a bunch of players, lost a couple of players, graduation, transferring, cross-cultural. But they return a pretty solid core. It's not that old of a team, just one senior on the team, but a lot of talented players and a lot of experienced players. So I think the field hockey team has a good chance. They finished fourth in the standings last year. But I think with that big returning core, as they have experience already, I think they're going to have a good chance this year to push their way back up in the standings and fight for a spot in the ODAC championship game.
Yeah, it's. I think they're pretty excited about where they're at. Again, there's always the difficulty. I think they lost some of the kids that they really were hopeful at the end here in the recruiting that decide to go other places, and takes a little time to build over top of that. They certainly don't have has been the pattern in the past couple of years. They can't afford a lot of injuries because they don't have a lot of numbers there. But you're right, they're solid, and they seem to be energized. New assistant coach Sarah Rothschank coming back, having played just a couple of years ago, is back in grad school and helping out. She's excited. That'll give them another set of eyes and ears, and hopefully decision making as well, and can pull the girls together. And I think they're looking for a good solid year.
Yeah. Mentions of their schedule, they actually open the EMU season at home next week, Friday the 31st. They play Gettysburg at 4 o'clock. That'll be our first home event. But they do also host the ODAC Play Day, it's called. It's just like a big day of scrimmages, basically, and that's this Sunday, just a couple days away. So if you're interested in field hockey, don't know much about it, coming out to the turf field basically all day after church, you can watch field hockey. It might be us, might be someone else, but there'll be someone playing out there. Forgot to mention women's volleyball. They have an alumni match coming up on Tuesday. I think that's the 28th, maybe next week, Tuesday.
Part of their scrim, one of their scrimmages will be an alumni match.
And so that's kind of fun to see them play and to see some of the alumni play. Those are fun matches to see. And speaking of home events, cross country is at home this year. We haven't seen them host anything for a while. But they are hosting the ODAC events this year, and that's always tied together in two events. They host the ODAC Championships at the end of October, but they also host the ODAC Preview Meet, it's called, and that's also on next week, Friday. So cross country, we'll see them at home a lot more, and they're actually at a Bridgewater meet in Harrisonburg as well. So, I mean, last year, I think Lexington was as close as we got. This year, we're in Harrisonburg three times. Mm-hmm. But cross country should be a lot of fun this year as well. A lot of the big names return. Dan Nafsinger, who went to national meet last year, he returns for the men. The women return their strong core. And I think there's a lot of exciting individuals. The women's team could be an exciting team. They brought in some really talented players, and they're going to push for ODAC championship as a team on the women's side as well.
Yeah, that's probably the most interesting and maybe exciting one that we'll see, at least here in the fall, is really hardly having enough to score last year, and probably without I haven't seen the polls. They maybe haven't come out yet.
Not yet.
I know Jason Lukowitz, the coach, feels very good that they could be right in the mix for the ODAC championship, and then on into the regional meet down in Georgia. So that's sort of a whole. And I know he got probably all of his top recruits that he went after, he got. And so they're going to have a full slated team and really a lot of strength in there as well. Should mention, when we talk about home meets, it's not here on campus.
Right.
It's held at Peakview Elementary School, to east of town, out on 33. But again, they will be running there three times. The preview meet, the Bridgewater meet, and then we'll host the ODAC Championships. And that certainly, if you love running, that'd be a great place for you to come to.
Mm-hmm.
So that wraps it up for the fall sports.
Yeah, well, golf, we call it a spring sport, but they do start in the fall, so you won't see them on our fall posters, et cetera, but they'll have a few meets, so we'll come out with an actual preview of them maybe a week or two into the school as they get a chance. They're not here early, but they will start this fall.
We'll talk about them a little bit as we come up. Well, there's no doubt about it. Preseason polls normally come out. When's that going to start?
They'll start coming out on Monday. Hopefully Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, but if it trickles along on that. But you'll see those come out next week. So excited to see those. Our season previews will be attached with those polls. So just keep an eye on the website. It's going to get awful busy next week.
Keep an eye on that. In case you're wondering, if you ever go to the Old Dominion Athletic Conference website, they just redid theirs. And so it's got a little bit of a different look, but certainly check things out as you'll start seeing more coming up there. And, of course, we'll be adding a lot of things at once. So if you've missed something, go back to the archives and make sure you pick it up. Well, one of the things that all of us here on campus have been following quite a bit, and maybe it's a little bit more for those of us from Pennsylvania, is the Eric Kratz story and what he's been doing with the Philadelphia Phillies. And if you haven't paid attention to that, naturally, we're going to have a little bit of pride and joy in our only EMU grad to make it to the big leagues. I just need to at least clarify, as some people do, that Larry Sheets also played here, but he did not play baseball because he had already signed a contract coming out of high school. So when he came to college here, he could play basketball, but he could not play baseball.
Right.
So Eric is the only one there. There will be an article coming out, we assume, in the DNR.
Yeah, hoping for Monday.
Okay. And if you haven't, just go on the Philadelphia Phillies website, and there's all kinds of highlights of some of his batting and fielding interviews with him, et cetera. And so we're following that. Eric lives here in the area in the off season and trains, works out here in our fitness center, and comes and talks to the baseball team and helps out with that as much as possible. So we're following that pretty interesting. And so you'll see more of that. I think there's actually an article on our homepage of EMU that you or someone originated from. And so we want to make sure that we check that out as well. My final thought today is I picked up the morning paper here in Harrisonburg, and I was interested. There was an article about what they're calling skinny rosters. And it's an article about high school football teams here in the local area whose rosters have been diminishing in size quite significantly over the last couple of years. And I was interested in some of the comments about it and what was happening. Here in Virginia, just recently, I guess it was last spring or winter sometime, the Virginia High School Athletic League created some new policies regarding out-of-season workouts for and what high school coaches could do with their teams. Mm-hmm. And basically, they threw their hands in the air and said, do whatever you want to do because we can't police it anymore. And so they are now permitted to be with their team and run practices for their team year-round. And one of the things that they are saying is that is creating the rosters to go down in football. Mm-hmm. And perhaps even more concerning to the athletic directors in the area is as that out-of-season training increases, some of your secondary sports like wrestling, track and field may get hurt even more because that's usually the secondary sport for the football. Sure. But if football coaches start requiring year-round, whether it be lifting or actual practices, because I don't think there's anything there, you're going to find that some of those secondary sports, what some people call secondary sports, none of them are, excuse the phrase, may hurt even more. And the interesting thing then that was also pointed out is the fact that the specialization seems to be focused on scholarships. I just made a quote here from the article. One reason, and this is a quote, one reason players specialize is to enhance their chances of snagging an athletic scholarship, but few Harrisonburg Rockingham County athletes receive grants regardless of whether they play one sport or three. When you look at the number of scholarships given in Rockingham County for athletics, it wasn't many, said this one athletic director who also coaches a sport. It is a very tiny number, and as he indicates, and I quote, if you're a Division III athlete, like most of our kids are, you need to be playing other things as well. And so it was interesting because there was a plug for the cross-training that happens in there. Mm-hmm. And it was some of you know that listen to my podcast know that I have some concerns about what's happening with the specialization. We've seen people quitting, and I'm not going to get into all of that. But this was a new one to me, and I found it very fascinating. And what is going to happen with the specialization? They also talked about just the booming age of technology, so many other things for kids to do. And if you're going to go ahead and start practice in July, guess what? There's probably going to be a lot of kids that say, you know what? I don't think I need that anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting.
We've had coaches that have quit because of this.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah. We've seen that here in this area. Yep. And it's just to me, it's sad because for whatever reasons, like I said, the mentality I sensed was that we might as well give up because we can't police it. And so let's let them do whatever they want to do. Mm-hmm. And now when you're going to do that, we have seen coaches quitting, and now you're going to find this specialization. And what's also going to happen is when your roster size is smaller, and particularly in football, and I was talking to a good friend of mine here in the area whose son is a freshman, and they think they're going to pull him up on the varsity, and the parents don't want him to. I could probably spend a whole session on what the dynamics are when a freshman in high school plays on the varsity of a sport. Because I've been there in that athletic realm for 15 years as a high school athletic director, and I saw what happened when freshmen play on varsity sports. And not always, but most likely it's not going to be a good situation for anybody. Very quickly, what happens is you go to the dining hall or the cafeteria, and the seniors don't want you to hang out with them because you're only a freshman.
Right.
And the freshmen in your class don't want you to hang out with them because they think you're too big for what you are, and you're hanging out with them. And so where are you? And the sophomores and juniors don't like you because you're taking their spot on the team. So we always had a policy that when a freshman was going to be played on a varsity roster, that had to be approved by the parents, the athletic director, and the principal. And we all had to have a meeting together to say, what are the dynamics that are going to happen in your family? What are the dynamics going to happen for this player? What's the future of the player, both from socialization as well as athletic prowess? And this was just really struck me when I read this morning, and it just goes to show one other result of this idea of specialization. And it grieves me to see that happen. It doesn't surprise me. And so I thought it was very fascinating. We'll see what happens with it. As you mentioned, more coaches are quitting. Now we're seeing smaller roster sizes. We're seeing families being very frustrated because now there are requirements year-round. It does help some of our coaches, I guess, because that means they can maybe do a little bit more with summer camps because teams will be coming because they'll be practicing the whole time. But anyway, although they have said sometimes their numbers are coming down because some of the roster sizes are smaller on their teams, and also parents can't make that kind of commitment financially as well as time-wise. So just another dilemma that we all face within the sports realm, and I wanted to highlight that, and we'll touch on that a little bit more. Well, thanks for joining us this week for our podcast. We are just about ready to jump in the saddle and take off for another year. So join us every week now. We'll be posting these probably most every Friday afternoon. Once again, a special thanks to Matt Huntsberger, technical director and recorder extraordinaire, and whatever else he does.
Hey, is he playing on his cell phone right now?
Well, I'm not sure, but he's entitled to. But I don't know if he's had his fill of athletics or not when he listens to it. But thanks for joining us. Join us each week as you get an inside look of EMU athletics. And once again, until we join you next week, make it a great week.